Wonderful. Hey, I just want you to know that I acknowledge that I'm a little weird inside of what I'm about to say, but I love interviews. Like, if I was to go and interview for a job right now, I'm not telling you I would get it, but I would enjoy it. And I'm not sure if that's like a normal thing, but I've always been that way. I like to interview people, and I like to be interviewed. I like questions. Asking questions of me, like, hey, ask me questions all day long. And also, I like to ask questions. I like to ask weird questions, like maybe a question you've never gotten before, and you're like, I've never thought of that. I enjoy doing that. And with loving questions being asked of me and me asking questions, there's one that has plagued me my entire life, all right? And it is this. Do I look fat in these pants? I hate that question. I get that question from my wife. Of she'll put on an outfit, and she's like, okay, how are we looking? You know, and I'm like, you look gorgeous. You look amazing. Like, but there is a right answer to that. But there is no right answer that a man can like come up with inside of that moment. Because like, what are you supposed to say? Yes, no, never would do that. But what if it was true? You know, a man would never be able to tell you, right? It's a problem. And then also, on the other hand, saying, of course you don't, but they don't believe, right? So you're like, oh, now I have to convince them of not, can't just be like, you look great. And you do look great today, Caitlin. You look gorgeous. Yes. She's over there voguing. But what we're talking about today is along these same lines of like, there are things that are, we can say that we love truth. We're like, oh, please tell me, don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. But like, do we really like truth? Do we really tell people the truth? Do we speak truth? And this month, we've been doing this thing. We've been crossing the line. And what crossing the line means is that we've got all of our feelings on this side of like, we do things this way, and there's a status quo, or even a normal human line that we're like, okay, we don't cross the line into that because it's uncomfortable, or we think we'd have to let go of all of this stuff, and we don't want to do that, and what we've talked about this month is that as we cross the line of humanity and humility, we can draw things from scripture that we're like, okay, how do we cross the line with humanity? With humanity, with humility. So some of those things is just looking at Jesus and being like, okay, how did he come? God, how did God make himself human? How does that make sense? And then when he made himself human, he humbled himself. And how do we do that? How do we, like, what is the takeaway from that? Of like, we've got our life over here. Here's the line. We refuse to cross it. Now we're like, you know what? God, you've called us to cross it. We're going to cross it, and we're going to be with people, in community with people, and we're going to humble ourselves and not think too highly of ourselves. And we're going to lay our pride on the line and say, you know what? Hey, if whatever people say about us, they're going to say about us, but I am going to serve God, and I'm going to humble myself. Well, that all kind of twists in with what today is, which is honesty. Like, how do we cross the line of honesty? Like, how do we tell people the truth, but still maintain what's over here? And I would say that it's letting go of this, obviously, and grabbing onto to something else. There's a really good quote. And it is from the Bible, as it should be, okay? And this is why. If you were to Google, like, what does the Bible say about truth? You're going to get all of these pinpoints inside of the Bible where it talks about deception and not lying and telling the truth and being wholesome inside of your speech and the gospel, which is a central truth of like this will not change. Like there are some things of like there's truth that that like it's true right now, but in 10 years it may not be true. And but being able to tell that truth right, like there's all of these pinpoints. And then what I believe is that Ephesians 4:15, it's this central truth of like, if you're going to look at all of these things and connect all of these things to truth, what is the thing that you need to get right? And it's said this way, and we're going to read it in just a second, but it's said in this way because Ephesians 4 is saying that you need to be mature. Basically, in my words, like, grow up. Like, stop being a little kid. And it's not just to be a little kid, it's to be a little kid in your faith. And it uses the imagery of a, don't be a child tossed around by the waves. Who's been to the beach, a sea, or a pool that a big guy's jumped in? Okay? The waves are going to come. There's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing you can do to shift your body weight that the wave will not hit you. So it's not saying, and we read that and we're like, that doesn't make sense inside of the Bible. So let's make sense of it. There is a truth. Yes. If you, like you are going to be pushed around by waves. But what would it mean to grow up, to be mature, to not be a little kid when waves come and be tossed around? It's that you would learn how to swim or just get out of the water. So what we're looking at today in regards to this, it's not a first-time truth. It is a, okay, now that you are a Christ follower, what is required of you? And it's to tell the truth in a certain way. And it's to be mature as a Christian, as you're growing in maturity, it is to learn, for lack of a better phrase, learn how to swim or get out of the water. And this is how it applies, or let's just look at it first. Ephesians 4:15 says this, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So we're called to what? To love, or to tell the truth in love. And there's this quote that I found from a guy named Warren Wiersbe. I've got every commentary he's ever written. He's like a theologian dude. I love Warren Wiersbe. If you hate Warren Wiersbe for whatever reason, don't tell me, because I love him and I need you to not speak that truth. But Warren Wiersbe, he's got this quote about telling the truth in love, and it says, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. In order for us to really understand this, like what we're talking about today, I want you to take a deep breath for a second. I want you to know something. I know something about you that only you know. And this is it. Whenever we talk about speaking truth in love and trying to apply that to your life, there is someone, something, or some people that sticks in your head of it is hard to speak truth to a certain person. Whether it's a kid, a family member, a neighbor, someone that you go to school with, someone you work with, another political group, you have a hard time speaking truth to another person. Thing, something. I know that about you. This is why I know that about you. Because the Bible talks a lot about speaking to people in love and loving people. And it gives us a lot of examples of like, you're just going to have to love that person. And when it comes to speaking truth, I think that we all have a different thought. When I say truth, you are thinking something different from me probably. Because you're thinking of the conversation, what would be truth? What do you need to say to somebody that would be like, this is kind of difficult, but I'm going to say it. And that truth that we're thinking of, if it is spoken without love, you're just hitting someone over the head with your words. And that will accomplish nothing. You're like hurling bricks from your mouth because there's no love in it. That's brutality. But on the other hand, if you love someone and you do not speak truth to that person, you are being dishonest. You are being a hypocrite. Because you are called to love people. And if you can love someone and not tell them the truth, then you don't love them. And we're called as Christians to love people. 1 Corinthians 13 says this really pretty verse that you guys have probably had at your wedding. Love is kind, love is patient, love does not envy, doesn't boast, doesn't keep record of wrongs, all that stuff. But it starts with this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, which is, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Then it goes on to be like, because love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. I don't know why I do like the southern thing when I do that, but that is what we're called to do. We're called to love. And that verse is not about, it applies to marriages, but it's not about marriages. That's not the central theme. It is taking something that God wants, which is for all of us to love others. There's this time where Jesus, the people come to Jesus and they're like, tell me the greatest commandment. And they're trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and says, hey, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest thing you can possibly do. That's, if God is giving you, if you're one of those people, maybe you are, you're not one of those people that are always going to a boss and being like, what else can I do, boss man? Okay, that sounds like Robin, like to Batman, but like, what else can I do? And what are they going to say? They're going to say the next thing. If you were to go to God right now and you were to say, what should I do? He is going to say, love me and love others. That's what he's going to tell you. He's like, what do you want from me? Love God and love others. So we're called to love. And this sermon, if you were to draw a box around this sermon is for people who are like, I love Jesus. I am a Christian. I'm a Christ follower, a disciple of Christ. I am pursuing God. This is for you. That you are called to not look outside of your box and say, well, they're doing this or they're doing that or they're speaking one way or they don't show me love or whatever. It's not you against them. It is your personal relationship with God that you are called to work on and become mature. Mature followers of Christ. And that first thing is speaking the truth in love. So look at Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. You are called to love people, whether you really, like, for back lack of a better phrase, you actually hate them. Like, you hate that people group, or you hate those people, or you hate that person, because you don't want to speak truth to them, and you should love them, and you should love people that you actually love. Like, and the people you love, obviously, like, your kids. You love your kids, right? Most of you. I'm getting a lot of this. That's weird. You love your spouse, or you ought to. You love your parents. You love your siblings. You love your friends. And these are people that you're like, I love them. I love them. I love them. But let's figure out how to actually love them. It's by telling them the truth. And this is the first point from today. It says, truth isn't a weapon. It's a gift best given with grace. Truth is not a weapon. We can't weaponize our truth. And this is how you'd weaponize your truth. By holding it back. Or using it to manipulate. If you use truth as a weapon, it is damaging to the other person. Here's how I know this to be true. I'm just going to be a little bit vulnerable with you guys, okay? I was not fat in fourth grade, but I was short, okay? So, people would look at me and they would be like, oh, you're fat. And I would be like, no, I'm not. My mama loves me, and she says that it's okay that she can't put her arms around me, kind of thing. It's like, it's a good thing. But then, 33 now, and it still bothers me. And I think back, and I'm like, what jerk kids were walking around telling a little fourth grader that he's fat? Like, I'm mad at those kids right now, okay, just even thinking about it. Because that's wrong. They shouldn't have been doing that to me. But at the end of my fourth grade year, I joined wrestling. And 2 years later, I had this growth spurt, and I'm this size now. I've been this size since sixth grade, okay? Which was big then, but now it's tiny. But I became this size, and I was 115 pounds less, and I wrestled, and people were like, yes, that's what you should do. Like wrestling is good. Like I found my niche. Like I found the thing that I found all of my my encouragement and my love. And these people weren't saying I'm fat. They were just telling me not to eat. Okay. And I look back at that and I'm like, man, like I really wish someone when I was in fourth grade would have spoke love to me. Instead, my parents did. My siblings were like, oh no, you ain't fat. You pretty hot and tasty, you know, like PHAT instead of FAT. But you know, like they were trying to encourage me, but my friends, they would be like, oh, there's chubby coming around the corner. I wish someone would have just come to me with love and been like, hey, like you're going to get taller or maybe, and maybe I would have had more confidence going into my high school years, and I wouldn't have had to overcome so much coming out of my high school years being like, so like, is it okay if I'm fat? Because people aren't going to like me, you know? Now I am because of baby weight, and I didn't have one. So there's that. But there's a reason why I tell you that story. My son is now inside of cross country, and he came home from school the other day or from cross country practice. And he was like, man, this kid was so mean to me. He's one friend in cross country and just belittled him. And my son is one of the most confident dudes ever until one of his friends or family says something mean. And it just crushed him. And I'm sitting there with my 8-year-old son, and I'm like, gotta calm down. But I'm like, Miles, it is gonna be okay. And he's like, yeah, but they keep on running so far ahead of me, and I'm the slowest one. And I could, in anger, or not in anger, but like in the wrong way, not in love, be like, kid, you're not fast. Just get over it. Or I could do what I believe is in love, to look at my son and be like, hey, you're not the fastest yet, but we're going to get faster. Me and you, we're going to get faster. You know what? Dad needs to run with you more. Now, you know what you need to do? And this is what I told him. I said, you need to go to your mom. And this is a good thing. This is awesome. Because you get to go to your mom now and be like, okay, mom, you're a runner and you can teach me some stuff. And then learn from his mom. There's no hate in that. There's just only love. And it's easy because he's my son. But we should be going to people with the convictions of our heart. That same like thing in the chest of like, if someone is in the wrong or someone is walking away from truth, you go to them with love and genuinely and kindly talk to them in kindness. Say like, I love you, and that's why I'm telling you this truth. You don't have to lie to people. You don't have to hide truth. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. It's like seasoning your conversation. You have a conversation you want to have with somebody, make sure you season it. And not season it with lies, but season it with graciousness and attractiveness. It is okay to talk to people about in a way that's pleasant, because people want to talk to pleasant people. And how I know that is because there's some grumpy waitresses inside of Owosso that you probably have met one that's like, they're like, what do you want? And you're like, oh man, like, I don't know. You're asking too quickly. And then there's the ones that call you darling, okay? And you all know that kind of waitress. That they're like, hey, darling, how you doing? And you're like, great, wonderful. And they act like they have all the time in the world. They don't. They're on the clock. They have to get to other tables. But what makes us want to, you're like, you know what? That person's getting a good tip. And they deserve it. Why? Because they were kind. They took time. They didn't just demand something of you. Man, whenever you have when you have something to say to anyone about anything, take time. Because that's another person on the other end of that conversation. Have a good conversation. But the problem is that if there's a truth that needs to be spoken, there is usually an emotionally charged feeling. Something that gets stuck in your throat. And I could probably ask each of you different things. And there's something that's going to get stuck in your throat that's like, it's hard for me to be nice to people when they believe a certain way. It's hard to be nice to people when they do things a certain way, when they don't believe a certain thing. And it's hard, to speak truth to people without just ruining your witness. But we're called to season our conversations with grace and attractiveness. Continuing on inside of this verse, it gives us more insight of what we actually ought to do, and it's this. So instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Well, how do you do that? Jesus isn't with it. Like you don't have like him as like a battle buddy, like talking to you, being like verbally being like, hey, don't do that. Hey, you should say that differently. Hey, I know your thoughts. Probably shouldn't do that. We don't have Jesus in that way. So how do we have Jesus? We have him through the Holy Spirit, God, living inside of us, speaking to us by his power, and leading us to do and say and be things that we could never be or say or do on our own. And then he also gave us the Bible, where we can see Jesus' example. Where we can look at something and be like, oh, like I like that. Because Jesus gave us an actual example. This is an example. There's the woman at the well. It's found inside of John 4. And this is the story condensed as I think as much as I can. Okay, so there's this woman. She's from Samaria. Jesus is Jewish, so they normally would not talk, and it's the middle of the day in public, so a man would, especially a Jewish man, would definitely not be going to a woman in the middle of the day in public and talking to her. But Jesus approaches this woman and is like, hey, you're drawing water. I would like to offer you some living water. Okay, he was a salesman. I like, that's how it kind of feels to me. It's like, he's got something to sell, but this is the deal. He's not selling something to benefit himself. He is selling something to benefit her. He's got a truth. He's got something that he's got to proclaim. So he's going to proclaim that. So let's watch him as he proclaims it. He says, living water. She's like, I have no idea what that means. She leans in further. He says, I know that you have had 5 husbands, and the guy that you're vibing with right now is not your husband. And she's like, oh, how'd you know that about me? And calls him a prophet. First point inside of this conversation, calls him a prophet. And whenever we are on the internet and someone's like, why do you even believe in Jesus? He's just a prophet. We get up in arms about it. Jesus glossed right over it. Is it because he was just a prophet? No. He's the Son of God. He saved the world. Like, but he was not about like triggering people or people being triggered to be like, hey, you said something and now I'm going to say something back. You lashed out at me. You said something wrong. I have to correct you now. No, what he does is she's like, oh my goodness, you must be a prophet. And he's like, let me finish. And he changes the conversation from being about this living water. And he says, because the living water is you will never thirst again from drinking it. It has to do with worship. And you will worship in spirit and in truth. And what he's saying is that Jesus is saying that God intends not to go to a building to worship, but for everyone to worship God at all times. He's saying to have a personal relationship. He's saying you can be changed. You can experience life change. Where you will never be spiritually thirsty ever again. You will never have to go to a building and pray and God will forgive you. No, like he is a personal God. And there are religions that believe that the building still holds the Spirit of God. And the truth is that the Spirit of God is within anyone who believes, anyone who will profess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. That we have that. And he's saying, that's what I want from you. And then he says, I'm the Messiah. And it all clicks. Boom. That little correction. It's like, I'm the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am here to save the world. And that includes you. The woman that everybody said bad word things about probably. And he could have very easily been like, five dudes, the guy you're vibing with now is not your husband. You're a fill in the blank. But he didn't. He went to her with love, saying, there's something more for you. Turn away from the things that you've been doing and turn to God. And she spent the rest of her life, before Jesus even died, preaching the gospel. Before we even like have the gospel, she's preaching the gospel. She doesn't stick around and become a disciple. She then goes to people and starts evangelizing, telling that Jesus is the Messiah. It's wild. And that is how we take things from, you're going to speak in love, and how do we follow his example, but we grow more and more like Christ. We need to, this is it. The growth begins where pretending ends. We stop being someone who pretends, that has masks on. That it's a facade. For example, I'm sure you guys have all done this with yourself, your kids, everybody, but like the filters that you put, like you get Snapchat and you're like, this is me in 2020, 2021. So I've got a toddler son at that time and a baby daughter and we're just always using those filters. We're always like we're taking pictures, we're swapping faces. We got pictures of Caitlin with a beard, me bald. It's no longer a filter. Got Miles with the mustache, Caitlin before she shaved her mustache, things like that. And we did this for a while and it got bad. Let me show you how bad it got. You know, I'm just an island boy. Oh, what's up with it, friends? Yo, Central Baptist students having their last senior takeover this Wednesday. So, 6 to 7:30. Okay, it was a whole persona. You put a filter on my face, it became a persona. And let's be careful that we don't, as Christians, pretend so much that the Christendom of our life is a persona. That it's a false, a mask. That we are saying with our mouths like we're Christians, but then the other things that come out of our mouths are like anything from what God would say that we should say. And that extends to truth. And we're in a very special time where the tensions are very, very high. Politically, emotionally, relationally, all of these spots, it's like tensions are a little high right now. What are Christians called to do? speak truth in love. And that truth is not your opinion. And that truth is not because someone else says, someone tells you what to say. That truth is from your relationship with Jesus and just speaking what God is doing in your life. And how does it happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's from putting on the armor of God, knowing that there's an enemy that really does want to destroy you, and then saying to that enemy, you can't destroy me because I put on the armor of God. The armor of God, it starts like, or the verse, it's inside of Ephesians 6, so two chapters later, it says this. Therefore, in verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be able to stand firm, or you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. You know why? The belt is anchoring the other things. The sandals of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. It is anchoring these things. Because there is a truth that we ought to believe in and speak about. And this is what defends you. Speaking of your own opinions and speaking of things that just are fabricated from yourself and lies, the persona that you make yourself to be, it is exhausting, but also it is not wholesome. It is not holy. It is not what God would want you to do, because it's a lie. This verse that we're walking through, Ephesians 4:15, it ends like this. So instead, we will speak truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Honesty, truth, honesty begins in the heart that God transforms. And then it overflows to others. You don't have to know what to say or how to say or like, just go to God and be like, God, as I am maturing, as I am living my life to best represent you, will you please overflow out of my life? Will you teach me things? Will you help me to say things that will not breed hate or cause my witness to be broken, but instead to be love? And that person I was talking about earlier, that person that comes to your mind, or that those people that come to your mind when I'm like, you have to speak truth in love, that you're like, nope, never going to happen. Can't happen. They are, that will never happen. Like, no. Because I am incapable of speaking that truth in love. I would say you are lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. You are able to speak truth in love. Hold yourself to a higher standard. Challenge yourself a little bit. You may feel like that you're meek. I'm not a person who talks to people. You may think that you're high energy, like Noah Ethan McCormick. Okay? And you're like, well, like, I don't want to like lose this persona. It's like people just like me and I'm likable. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares? There is something more important than your comfortability. And it's the truth. And you're called to speak truth in love. So, find that person, that thing that you know that weeds are growing inside of your life. Be mature Christian individuals that do not breed hate when we leave this place. Do not speak against people in ways that God would never ordain you to speak, would never want you to speak like. And go out from here and start pulling those weeds in love, not in harshness or in hate. And if you're someone in here that you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you're like, Noah, I don't have this truth that you're talking about, please, please place your trust in Jesus. He will reveal to you what only God can do in and through your life. Let's pray. God, you're way too good to us. You're good to me. And God, we want to be able to speak the truth in love, and it's difficult. So obeying your word, help us to grow more and more like you. Obeying your word, help us to speak truth out of the overflow of your life, of our life, and speak truth in love. God, help us in those conversations, those hard conversations. Give us boldness. Encourage us. Prepare the way for us so we can speak truth in love. And God, just personally, I know you're calling me and those who I'm close to you to speak some hard things. Let it not be from us. Let it be from you and you alone. God, we love you. We will always give you glory. We will always give you praise forever and ever. Amen.